Hello, everyone. So, as was mentioned already, we're going to be talking about determinants of intimate partner violence in our sample of young men who have sex with men over time. And so I'll give you a little bit of a background on intimate partner violence among young sexual minority men. So prevalence estimates of IPV, which is the acronym I'm going to be using here going here forward because it's a mouthful otherwise. So it ranges anywhere from 8% to 41% depending on the literature that you're looking at. And these estimates vary based on sampling differences. So some samples only include men. Other samples may include folks that don't identify as men. It also may include different age brackets. So it's really hard to get a good sense of what the prevalence of IPV among YMSM is. In our study, for example, we found estimates to be around 40%, and I'll get to that in a moment, but just to give you an idea of what to expect going forward. Many of the studies in the current literature do not look at correlates of IPV among YMSM. In a project that we did recently, we found that there were certain correlates of IPV among YMSM at baseline of the study, and that included things like histories of childhood mistreatment or abuse, which included witnessing domestic violence in the home as a child, things that are sort of individual level traits like impulsivity. We also found that IPV at baseline was associated with increased substance use, increased condomless sex, as well as higher rates of depression and PTSD. There are some, of course, gaps in the extant literature. The first is that very few studies actually ask questions about perpetration. So that leaves a wide gap in our knowledge about IPV because, as we'll discuss a little bit further, there's a high correlation between perpetration and victimization. And secondly, there's very few studies that look at IPV longitudinally, regardless of what sample you're looking at, but specifically among YMSM. So the present study is to hopefully address some of those gaps. We are looking at persistence, which is the reported existence or experience of IPV after baseline. In our sample of 600 YMSM, as we discussed already, they're age 18 and 19 at baseline, and they were followed over a course of 36 months. And we were looking at distinct factors that may be related to victimization and perpetration. And we did this in separate models, as I mentioned, because of the high collinearity of the two experiences of victimization and perpetration. So to give you some sense of what measures we included, as we mentioned before, we have a lot of great measures in our study, and so what we did was the dependent variable in this case was intimate partner violence. So that was six items. They were dichotomous items looking at emotional or psychological, physical or sexual, victimization and perpetration. So we had three items regarding victimization and three items regarding perpetration, which we think is one strength of the study. The independent variables, so the predictors that we thought might be related to IPV over time, included things, one of which was intimate partner violence at baseline, because we expect that that will be a significant predictor. We also looked at something called gay-related stigma, which is a continuous scale looking at internalized negative attitudes about being gay. We looked at depression, relationship status, and a host of other things when we were constructing these models. We also included a couple of covariates, the first of which is race and ethnicity, because the literature does suggest that there may be differences along those lines. And we also looked at perceived familial socioeconomic status, because, again, the literature suggests that there may be some differences among SES groups. So the analytic plan for this project, we did some bivariate analyses to determine what variables would be included in the final models. And so, as I mentioned, we had the kitchen sink at our disposal. And so we looked at a bunch of different things in relation to IPV over time to decide what was going to be included in those final models. So we looked at individual level factors, which included things like impulsivity and childhood mistreatment, which again also includes witnessing domestic violence in the home as a child. We looked at psychosocial factors, so those things might be like gay-related stigma, internalized homophobia. We looked at mental health factors, including depression and PTSD over time. We looked at relationship-level factors, which, of course, would be IPV, as well as whether or not these folks were in a relationship. And we also looked at associated risk factors, so things like substance abuse over time. Factors that were not significantly associated with IPV after baseline, so at follow-up, were dropped from the final models. And what we did was we conducted mixed effects logistic regression models. That's a mouthful at five. Were constructed to assess correlates of IPV victimization and perpetration over time. So just to give you some sense of the descriptive sort of profile of IPV within the sample at baseline and at follow-up. So at baseline, of our sample of 600 YMSM, 40.2% reported some type of experience of IPV. And specifically, 35.5% reported experiences of victimization, and 27.5% reported experiences of perpetration. This sort of speaks to the high correlation between the two experiences. At follow-up, so at the 6 points of follow-up data, there were approximately 35.5% reported some sort of experience of IPV after baseline. 30.8% reported at least one victimization experience, and 26.2% report some perpetration experience. So of those reporting IPV at baseline, more than half, so 53.9%, report persistence of IPV, so a repeated experience of IPV after baseline. And of those not reporting IPV at baseline, about a quarter, so 23.2%, report the onset of IPV at some point during the study. So those were folks that didn't have it at baseline, that at some point over the course of the 36 months of follow-up experienced at least one type of experience of either victimization or perpetration. So moving on to the mixed effects models. So these are the models that we constructed that included all of the variables that were related to it at a bivariate level. As you can see here, there was one significant sort of factor, which at the race and ethnicity level, which is that black YMSM were less likely to report experiences of victimization over time as compared to Hispanic or Latino men. There were not any significant associations with regards to SES. As far as relationship level factors, being in a relationship appears to be a robust predictor of victimization over time, which is a bit of a no-duh finding, which is that based on the way the questions are worded, you would have to basically be in a relationship to experience IPV. But I think what I really want to draw your attention to here is that IPV reported at baseline was a very robust predictor of IPV over time, so after baseline. In this case, the odds ratio was about 5.5. So those that experienced IPV at baseline were about 5.5 times more likely than those that did not report IPV at baseline to experience it again over time. As far as individual level factors that we found to be related, and I'm going to draw your attention to these, which is that these were continuous variables, so they're not going to get those sort of startling odds ratios that you get when you've got a dichotomous one like IPV at baseline. But nevertheless, depression and gay-related stigma, and particularly the public attitude subscale of the gay-related stigma measure that we use, were related to IPV victimization over time. With regards to IPV perpetration over time, the model here looks very similar to the one that I just presented. So similarly, as I mentioned before, black YMSM were less likely to perpetrate experiences of IPV over time as compared to Hispanic or Latino men. Again, being in a relationship increases your likelihood of perpetrating intimate partner violence. And again, most importantly, I think, is that IPV reported at baseline is a robust predictor of IPV perpetration over time. Here, nearly six times more likely. If you have experienced IPV at a young age, which is before 18, you are nearly six times more likely to experience it later at follow-up. And again, the individual level factors that we found to be related to IPV perpetration over time were depression and gay-related stigma, and again, the public subscale of gay-related stigma. So we'll talk a little bit about what these things mean. So I think the most important sort of the takeaway, if you're going to walk away with one thing today, that would be that early experiences of IPV are a robust predictor of later experiences of IPV, particularly among the sample. And this may speak to the difficulty of escaping a cycle of emotional, physical, or sexual abuse within the context of one or multiple relationships. Gay-related stigma may also be associated with increased likelihood of IPV over time. And this may, for example, relate to the lowered self-esteem that comes with having more negative attitudes about one's sexuality. May make it more difficult to escape a relationship or leave a relationship in which if you're not already feeling good about yourself for being a victim, you also feel bad about yourself for being gay. And similarly, or at least relatedly, the increased hostility towards male same-sex partners, which might also be related to gay-related stigma, may be a mechanism related to perpetration over time. And the increases in depressive symptoms associated with IPV over time, you know, the depressive symptomology those things include like social isolation, reduced self-efficacy, feelings of helplessness and hopelessness, and those things may contribute to the risk for IPV over time. So, of course, our findings should be considered in light of some of our limitations here. So the first one is that in this case, IPV was analyzed dichotomously. Our measure, for example, does not capture things like frequency, does not capture severity or perceptions of violence. And we have done some great work. So in the new version of the study, we have got a much more sophisticated measure of IPV so we can capture some of those things. And we also, in order to do an analysis like this, we had to aggregate the physical, emotional, and sexual IPV experiences. Another limitation, of course, is that this is based on self-report. And then because of the cell sizes with regards to race and ethnicity, we had to reduce Asian, Pacific Islander, mixed, and other races into one category for analytic purposes. The implications of this. So I think the most important one is that IPV prevention messaging and programming should aim to reach sexual minority youth before they experience IPV. As I mentioned, at baseline, so at age 18, nearly 41% of them had reported at least one type of experiencing. So that means we need to be intervening earlier and targeting younger age groups potentially. Also, interventions for victims and perpetrators of IPV should be tailored to the unique needs of this population. And so based on these findings, these interventions may be improved by targeting individuals' internalized negative attitudes about their sexuality, their self-esteem, self-efficacy, targeting things like depression. And similarly, as far as research implications, future research should use more precise modeling techniques to examine some of the other factors that may be related to IPV over time. And finally, sort of a thought for you to leave with, which is that IPV may exist within a syndemic of health risk factors, so things including substance abuse, mental health problems, that place YMSM at disproportionate risk for things like HIV. And that's it. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to discuss those. Oh, we can do that too.
You have several questions.
Oh boy, all right.
Chris. Let's start with Anthony up here.
I was surprised that the number was so high, 40%. 40% of like 600, you're talking about 250 guys. I'm curious about the implications for a young person in a research setting, kind of talking about that information, what kind of feelings it brings up, and how the research team deals with all these young men reporting something very personal and sensitive.
Right. So in this case, so when the baseline surveys were conducted, as well as the follow-up surveys, it was a part of the ACASI survey. So it was a part of the survey that they would have been filling out on their own on the computer. So my understanding would be that we probably didn't have discussions with them regarding these experiences.
But I will add that I think one of the successes of the study in keeping such a high retention rate has to deal with the relationships that these participants experience with the staff at the center. They feel loved, you know. They feel like they're part of a family coming there, and I think that's why they keep coming back. So the counseling issues that you raise are built around the biological stuff. But if we were to get these measures, like in a person to person, you know, conversation, we'd have a protocol for that too.
Sure. And another thought that I had as we were sort of talking about this is that when we do the HIV testing with them, we discuss potential associated risks, one of which would be a fear of violence within their relationship. So if they are afraid that there might be some sort of violence within their relationship, we either might not test that day, we would discuss referrals. So I misspoke slightly when I said that we wouldn't discuss it at all. We would discuss it at a different time point if it came up.
Sure.
I want to start by congratulating you and thank you for doing this work because I think it's a really important issue. I was curious if you can flip back to your models around, I think, perpetration.
Okay.
For the race ethnicity findings, the confidence intervals are crossing one or not crossing one, but not significant. And so I'm just wondering if you can talk a little bit about that aspect.
Sure.
The other thing I'm interested in a little bit is, so you talked about the fact that you had to use an aggregate measure across a psycho-emotional, physical, so on and so forth, but you've got 40% of the sample that's reporting the outcome. So, I mean, you probably don't have to aggregate that. I'm also interested in, maybe you sort of said that you, I didn't see the language for your measure, but given that you sort of, you have this comment that, I mean, you have to be in a relationship to sort of respond to this, like, how many people who have this outcome aren't in a relationship? I mean, there seems to be such a really strong overlap there that it's almost like everyone in a relationship is experiencing this, based on sort of the last presentation in terms of how many people were in relationships. So I'm just curious about those sort of three things.
Well,
defining the
sure.
And the relationship.
So the first one is, you get the prize for the closest eye in the audience today, because that is actually a typo that I corrected in a previous version of this, but I believe that it got corrupted or somehow didn't save properly. So the confidence interval, and I have the output on my MacBook in case you're curious to see it, does not include one for that group. That's just a typo. The second question with regards to, I believe it was, the combining of IPV
yeah.
over time.
Yeah.
Right, of the three experiences. This is a question on the server. I think you were saying
40% of your sample have the outcome.
At baseline. At baseline.
But it was 35% out of follow up, I think is what you presented.
Yeah.
So that's a third of the sample. Like, you don't necessarily need to aggregate it. Because you probably have enough of an outcome in one level. And I didn't describe the stats of how they overlap with each other. But I'm just curious a bit around why lump it all together if you've got that amount of power?
Sure.
Steve,
you got it. I trust your answer better than mine. Right, we're going to do the third question to song.
There's one more question, then we need to go to someone else. I think it's about being in a relationship. What was the question?
Yeah, just like how many people who are in relationships are experiencing and vice versa.
That's a good question. So by the 36 month wave, they basically had all had reported being in a relationship. So we didn't exclude anyone that had not been in a relationship for that reason. And the way the items regarding victimization and perpetration are worded, it basically says, have you experienced some sort of, let's say with the physical, have you been slapped, kicked, bitten, hit by a intimate or romantic partner, and then it says in parentheses boyfriend, etc. So like it sort of, you would in essence have to sort of be in a relationship in order to experience the IPV.
Back there?
Yes. Did your study show any correlation between intimate partner violence, direct correlation between that and seropositivity?
We didn't analyze that, but it certainly is something that I think would be worth looking at, because in a previous paper we did look at IPV at baseline in relation to condomless sex, and it was robustly related to condomless anal sex. So
that said, Planned Parenthood actually released a series of really interesting information documents, I think it was 2 weeks ago, about IPV in heterosexual relationships and HIV. There is no, I have no reason to believe that there's not a relationship here. I mean, yeah. Let me take one more. Do you have a question back there?
I'm wondering how you gathered the emotional abuse component of that. Was it more just a series of objective questions, or was it more subjective perception?
I only heard parts of the question.
How do you measure it? Emotional. Victimization.
So if I understand correctly, so it was the emotional and psychological experiences were the ones that were reported the most often, followed by the physical, and then lastly the sexual experiences over time. Oh, how did we measure it?
I think that's the question.
The item with regards to emotional and psychological was had to do. It asked them if they'd experienced some sort of name calling, sort of abusive type language, that sort of thing. I sort of described the physical, and then sexual had to do with coerced sex.
Thank you, Chris.